Hi, welcome back to the Wise Divine Woman podcast. Today I have Joe from Hoy Fit, and he has just come across my stream. I'm just reviewing his website again today because it was been before Christmas that we got in contact the first time. And you know, I love it. I love his thought process. I love his one-on-one approach on how he addresses his initial contact with people and with women, especially over 50. Welcome to the show, Joe. Tell me about yourself. How did you get here?
Thank you so much, Dana. Yeah, it was definitely a minute ago since we talked, so I had to refresh my memory too. So how did I get here? That's an interesting story because if anybody is watching this video, not just listening to the podcast, you will see that I'm not a lady and I'm not middle-aged. So it's always a little bit interesting as to why a 30-year-old ultimately chose to dedicate his life and his career to helping this demographic. And so it's kind of a three-part story. I'll try to make it as quick as possible, and then we
Take
can
your
dive
time.
into any pieces that you want. Okay, perfect. If there's anything you want to dive into deeper, just let me know. But it started when I was 13, right? And so I had two stepbrothers growing up. Other than that, I was an only child, and every other week they would be at my house, and then sometimes they would be at their other parents' house. And so one time when they were away, it was just myself and my mom. That was the majority of my life. I had a strong female role model. That was my mom. And I told her, I was like, "Mom, I'm done with school. I finished my homework. I've already played my video games. I'm kind of bored. What should I do?" She's like, "I don't know, buddy. I'm gonna go to the gym. So you can come with me, or you can stay home and make your own fun." And of course, we all know I went to the gym. And so when we pulled in there, it was my first time ever. She opened the door, she let me in, and as soon as she opened the door to the gym, it was like we see in the movies where those golden lights start like shining through and the angels start singing. You know what I mean? Like, I just fell in love with it. And exactly, that was I you did it much better than I could have done it for sure. I didn't even want to try it. So I fell in love with it. And I think the reason that I fell in love with it is because number one, when I was done with the gym, I felt incredible mentally. But also, being the younger brother of two older stepbrothers and having other boyfriends that were athletic, I was the smallest, skinniest, most unathletic, uncoordinated boy of my family and my friends. And so I was the one that got picked on. They're like, "Joe, you can't catch us in tag. You can't tackle us in football. You can't do this." And I was like, "Well, shit, I need to change this. I want to get bigger." So I tried as hard as I possibly could for the next 5 years, right? So all the way through high school, I was going to the gym 5, 6, 7 days a week and trying to gain as much muscle as I could. And no matter what I tried, I couldn't do it. Right. So I graduated high school just about as skinny as I was when I started middle school and entered the gym. And it was still bothering me to no end, right? Because like other people were developing, they were getting bigger, and I just wasn't. So I graduated high school. I go on with life. I enter college because I'm pursuing a career in surgery. And with that, I need to start taking these nutrition courses, these anatomy courses, these physiology courses to understand how the body works and how it reacts to certain things. And so obviously that helped me inside my career, my first career, but it also helped me inside my life, and it taught me what I need to do to actually gain weight. And so I discovered it. I finally discovered how to gain weight, and I went from my skinny 145 pound self all the way up to my desired goal weight of about 190, 195 pounds. But I didn't stop there. I couldn't. I didn't know how. I didn't know enough yet. So I blew right past that goal weight and went up to 225 pounds. So in about a year and a half, maybe 2 years, I went from 145 to 225. And then I had a new problem, right? I was still unhappy with myself. I was still pretty slow, uncoordinated, unathletic, and I was overweight now, and I didn't like how my body looked or felt. So I started trying to solve that problem the same way that most of our clients have tried to solve their problems in the past, right? Keto, low carb, high fat, unsustainable things that drove me crazy and didn't get me results. And so eventually I gave up on that. I took matters into my own hands and I just became my own guinea pig. I did as much research as I could after graduating college and getting into surgery. So I already had a good understanding, but I wanted more. And I eventually stumbled across a way that worked for me. And that way was just to figure out how much food I could eat while still losing weight every week. I didn't take away certain foods. I didn't take away certain macros. I didn't I didn't restrict myself on the weekends, and it worked because it was a lifestyle that I enjoyed. And if I enjoyed it, I could do it for life. And so growing up in a small town, people knew me from 13 years old when I was really skinny. They knew me at 21, 22 years old when I was overweight. And then they knew me at about 24 when I was exactly where I wanted to be. So I was 195 pounds, right where I am today. And I was strong. I was athletic. I looked good. I felt good. I went to the doctors. My health markers were through the roof. And so everybody started to ask in this little town, they're like, Joe, how did you do this? Because I know you told me you were doing keto. I know you told me you were doing high fat, low carb, whatever it might be. And that didn't work. So what is it that you found that worked? And enough people had asked me to where this little entrepreneurial brain of mine said, okay, I might have something here. And so that's what happened. I started these group coaching programs. And ultimately, I thought I wanted to help people like me, right? Young men that wanted to lose fat or gain muscle and feel confident in themselves. And so I decided to launch my first group coaching program. It was all online. It was nutrition and exercise based. And I put it out everywhere I had. So Facebook, Instagram, I told friends in college, at work, things like that. And I got about 40 to 50 people to join. I hop on my first Zoom call that morning. I look at all the faces that are staring back at me when I'm about to do my first presentation and tell them what we're doing inside this weight loss challenge. And it was weird. I didn't see any faces I knew. There was none of my guy friends that wanted to gain muscle. None of my guy friends that wanted to lose fat. It was all their moms, right?
Oh,
it was all
yeah.
40, 45, 50-year-old ladies that had joined my program. And I think the reason that happened is because, like I said earlier, I grew up with such a strong female influence that I learned to communicate well with that demographic. And so naturally, while I thought I was trying to attract people like me, I just attracted that midlife generation. And that's where it ended up. So after the first call, we all had a blast. I got off. I was super happy. We had fun. We were joking around. After that first challenge, I delivered amazing results and it stuck, right? So the first reason is I wanted to give back to my mom. I wanted to thank her for showing me what my life could be like inside of a healthy lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And I knew that if I could help other moms, I could help other kids like me. The second part is that I spoke well to them. Like, we understood each other. I could communicate well. And that's really necessary in coaching. And then the last part, like I said before, I was pursuing a career in surgery. So right. I eventually graduated. I got my job helping the doctor with surgery. And in our small hospital, there was a team of six of us that had my specific job. It was myself and five others. Those five others were all women. I was the one gentleman on the team. And for some reason, they thought it was a wonderful idea to stick the one man that they had inside of the OB and the GYN based rooms. And so for the next, 4 years, I was working 40 hours a week plus on-call emergency surgery.
For OBs.
Doing
childbirth.
Yeah, doing OB and GYN cases and spending all of my time with these doctors that dedicated their life to one single thing. Mm-hmm. And that's understanding how the female body worked. And so by osmosis, I got a massive understanding of how it worked. And so those three things came together. And I think that's what brought me here today.
I love it. I love that the universe sort of pushed you into these sort of scenarios, right? And again, it is this, because of this high respect and understanding that you have for your mom, women would just naturally resonate with you, right? That ability to just trust and not be mm-hmm. judged and be supported. And that's so what's needed in a body image, a bad body image society, right? And it's interesting that they would stick you with OBG because, goodness gracious, those are the most spectacular times of lives. I mean, there are highs and lows with that, with bringing birth into that. And then as women age, again, you get to understand that the weaknesses and the hormones and pelvic floor issues and incontinence and hearing all of those sort of ideas. And you, I'm sure you were bombarded with so many, things you would have never thought of in your entire life when it came to understanding the women's physiology, but then also women's emotional impact with hormones as well. Mm-hmm. So lucky for you.
Yeah, absolutely. It is lucky, right? Because all three of those things came together to create this one excellent thing for my life and for others' lives.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So tell me, how do you, like, you have this aspect with your, you have a one-on-one. Are you always looking for a certain or resonating with a certain person? You're looking for a level of commitment with the women and the men and women that you work with?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I guess you're right. Like, there, we don't work with everyone that wants to work with us.
No.
And I think that eventually we would, but we find that sometimes people just aren't ready.
No.
Right. And we want to spend our time working with people that are truly committed to themselves, because creating those results for them and with them is why we do it. And so if you're not ready, we have resources that we can send to you to help you get going, help create that momentum, help show you that it's actually possible. And then maybe down the road we can work together. But yeah, so we like to see a level of commitment. And the other thing we see a lot is that the ladies we work with, right, 99% of them are going to be 40, 45, 50 or older, but they've also been trying to lose weight for a while now. This is not their first weight loss attempt. And it's unfortunate that that's the case, because most people, when they go to lose weight, they ask their friend at work what they did. And most of those friends fell into the trap of Optavia or Weight Watchers or Atkins or just some massively restrictive diet that, even though it might help with weight loss, does not give you the tools necessary to succeed long term. And that's ultimately what we want to do. And so we work with those people to show them, number one, weight loss doesn't have to keep you starving all day long. Mm-hmm. Number two, you can listen to your cravings when they appear. And number three, whatever you're doing for weight loss is what you should also be doing for the rest of your life. So we need to make it enjoyable.
Right, exactly. How do you find that you have developed this diet detox? Tell me a little bit more about that terminology, because it's used throughout your entire website in this diet detox. And I understand what it is, but I just want for my listeners to really understand that thought process when you're using such opposite words together, right? So it's and because you want to look at detox as this cleanse and as this sort of removing the toxins out of your body. And that's how we look at that aspect. And diet, again, is that sort of restrictiveness together. So you're doubling down on that. So explain a bit more.
I like that you thought about that so deeply, because that's why I chose those two words as our method, right? Because like I said, a lot of the people we serve come from a dieting history. And inside that dieting history, we have cleanses, we have juice cleanses, water cleanses, you name it, that are still insanely calorie restrictive. And so I wanted to get something that was a little attention grabbing, right? Because I need to get people's attention, but also explain to them what it is we do from those two words. And so really, we detoxify the damage done to our clients' bodies from past diets. Like, we start to take away anything that ever resembled a diet, cleanse them of that, or detoxify them from that, and actually give them the nutrients, the calories, the vitamins and minerals their body needs mm-hmm. to thrive, instead of simply just survive and get through a day, you know?
It's so hard. Like, the body image perspective from our generation, because I'm 54, so it's, you know, you're into the 60s and 70s and 80s, and what a glorious time. But body image was just crazy. And then trying to break ourselves out of that mentality. And now all the different diets, you're right, like Atkins, Weight Watchers, oh my gosh, the Mayo diet, the keto, and now, you know, you working with things like, should you do macros? Should you just eat meat? Mm-hmm. What is carnivore? What are these different things? And again, it's like finding that right person who's going to help everyone sort of understand it from their need point of view, what things work from that weight loss, but what things work from a longevity point of view. Right. And it right. is very, it's very hard, because you have so, I've noticed it's very hard. It's very hard to not break out of this. Oh, I need to drop 10 pounds. I'm just going to eat this way for 10 weeks and, or for a week, just fast. And even the fasting method, or even doing intermittent fasting, and not that there's wrong, because I believe in all of it. I think everything has a time and a place.
Yep.
Still is very restrictive and very punishable. And we really have to break out of that mindset. So,
yeah, I love what you said about everything has its place, right? Mm-hmm. Because there's no like specific diet we pitch, right? I think that there is one diet that works for everyone, right? But everyone needs to find what that one diet is for them. Mm-hmm. So some people might not really enjoy carbs, and so a lower carb, higher fat option could work. Some people might not really enjoy fats, so we're going to give them more carbs so they enjoy that, and that works too. Intermittent fasting to an extent can certainly work. I think that there's ways for all of those to absolutely not work as well too.
It's a balance, right? And I find that the intermittent fasting gets, it's, we're supposed to fast every night. Like, let's not kid ourselves, but they take it to an extent. And I don't understand sometimes for, especially women in menopause, that it's can be more of a stressor, and then you end up gorging. Yes. And then you're just into that binge or bulimic kind of mentality back again, that just keeps perpetuating the mental health aspect of food, right?
Yeah. I love that you said that, because that's exactly how I feel about intermittent fasting, especially for ladies in menopause. It's just a massive stress to the body. And these ladies are under enough stress as it is. Menopause is stressful enough. Life is stressful enough. Weight loss itself is a stress. And so then to go on and do a more stressful version of how to lose weight, like, that's not going to help.
Yeah. It doesn't. It doesn't at all. So you work from a macros point of view, do you? Just ensuring that everything is balanced. And then what kind of exercises are you focusing on? And again, I'm assuming that it changes with person, but you have a plan. What exercises do you incorporate in your programs for the strength and weight loss for people?
Yeah, absolutely. So I want to touch on the nutrition piece real quick.
Yeah.
Because I do believe in macros, right? I think that every single person needs a healthy amount of protein, carbs, and fat every day. All three of those are necessary, but I don't think all three of those are necessary for fat loss, right? There's no amount of carbs that's going to make you lose weight or gain weight. There's no amount of fats that are going to make you lose weight or gain weight. The things that I think this comes down to is a little bit more simple. And I think that people get really excited about that because macro tracking can be scary for some people.
Yeah.
I think that we need to look at protein and we need to look at calories, right? Because calories are what's going to decide if we lose weight, maintain weight, or gain it. But at the same time, weight is a little bit too much of a blurry thing to say, right? We don't want to just lose weight. We want to lose fat. And so that's where protein comes into the equation, because if we're eating a low protein diet, we're going to lose muscle. And nobody's going to be happy if they reach their goal weight, but realize they kept all their fat and lost all their muscle, right? People want to lose fat. And so if we reached a goal weight, lost all of our fat, kept all of our muscle, we're going to be energetic, functional, tight and defined looking. And that comes from eating a high protein diet. And so that's why we look at protein and calories.
There's lots of research to be said for the amount of, and it's changing. That's why I say that. The mm-hmm. amount of protein for menopausal women to be eating is phenomenal, honestly. When I was researching and understanding, I'm like, whoa, that's a lot. But again, the amount of protein that you need to have for so many different functions of the body, the brain, bone, muscle, hormone function, everything, gut with amino acids.
Mm-hmm.
And it's when you look at the RDA, right? And you look at actually what is needed, that's a big gap. And it's a massive gap. And I love that you look at that protein perspective, because if you can get it depends on the person, right? So you're anywhere from 90 to 130 grams of protein, or do you go higher than that?
We'll generally go a little higher, but I was actually going to ask you what your research found, because I'd love to hear.
Oh, with the Girls Gone Strong, really they're looking at, with the My Menopause coaching, you're looking mm-hmm. at anywhere from 120 to 130. And then I forget, honestly cannot remember what podcast I was listening to, but he said even above that. And, but again, it's a matter of what you're needing, where your focus is, what your level of activity is, right? And protein, when you're starting to look at even the research with Alzheimer's or those types of ideas, protein is very important. So,
yeah.
And again, the protein fact, the basis, really helps motivate. If you can try, if you're focusing on just that, you know, even just 30 grams of protein per meal, like that's just minimum. That's really hard, really. And to eat that before anything else, then your calorie, your calories, and then you're trying to eat other things. You're not going to have room for the French fries and baked potatoes, right? So it's interesting. And you're not focusing on whether it's high fat or if it's, do I have enough fat or am I making sure I'm having zero carbs, which gets us in a lot of trouble. Do you find that you're trying to just get them to break out of that?
And absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a,
yeah,
I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it's that certain percentage per grams per body weight. And of course, you know, most women are, 180 to 200 pounds, that's still a lot of protein. And we don't think about that, right? In our minds, we're like, oh, we've got to make sure we get enough fiber. We have to get enough fat. And do we have enough fruits and vegetables? Which gets us into trouble of not having, getting too full on things that are important, but are not the goal, right?
Yeah, you nailed it. And so I don't think anybody should be eating the RDA recommended amount of protein. Like that is extremely low. We'll usually go above the 130 grams of protein. We'll generally stay below 180 unless we have an extreme case of any sort. But that window is generally pretty good. And what I would say is like, if anybody's listening and they're thinking, oh my God, well, I just started tracking and now I'm only having 50 grams of protein, they expect me to double or triple that. How can I do it tomorrow? Like, don't look at doing that tomorrow.
Yeah, it's
just do better. Yeah, just do better than you did today. Like if you generally get 50 grams of protein, add 10 grams tomorrow and stick there for the week. Then add 10 the next week and then 10 the next week. And eventually it's going to get easier. You're going to find these protein sources and you will be surprisingly at 120, 130, 160 grams of protein. And it's not going to seem that hard.
No, and cleaning out the cupboards and it's cleaning out the fridge and understanding sources of protein from that aspect. I'm not fond of vegetarian diets, but that's just me personally, because it's just not like, it's hard to get at that amount of protein. Yeah. So, and for longevity of life, I don't know yet. So we have to see, but it's interesting. And it's trying to like, okay, how does quinoa play a role and how does quinoa work in the gut? And so it's trying to keep things as clean as possible, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the cleanliness of food, or like how whole a food is, mm-hmm. or how bare it is from added ingredients, is always super important.
It is. It is. Tell me what you think about protein powders.
So I love them.
Yes.
After people get protein from real food, right? I don't want people waking up and having a protein shake with breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and then every snack between, right? I'd rather people fill up on as much real food protein as possible throughout the day and then supplement with protein powder, because that's all it is. Protein powder is a supplement. It's not something to replace food. It's something to supplement or add to food, right? And so my general rule of thumb, and this changes with people as well, but as a guess, is I don't like to see people have more than 60 grams of supplemental protein powder or protein bars, because it's not that hard to, like, if you work at it, you can get to 100 grams of protein pretty easily. And then adding 60 grams of protein through powder, you're at 160. Like, you should not need to go any higher than that.
No. And I find that it's an easy cop out, right? And it just perpetuates this, again, diet mentality of where it's always just a quick fix. I can carry on with my day and not actually paying attention. How much do you focus on the mind aspect when you're looking at food and digestion from your nutrition and training point of view?
Yeah. So I think mindset is huge in this entire journey. Yeah. And a lot of times I'll have to have tough conversations with the people we work with, because they'll say, right now I'm not happy, but when I reach XYZ body weight, I will be happy. And from experience, right? From number one, when I was too skinny and I finally got to 195 for a couple of weeks before I kept gaining, I was the goal weight I wanted to be, but I didn't like how my body looked. And so I still wasn't happy. And then when I finally got down to where I am now after losing weight, I looked how I wanted to look. I weighed what I wanted to weigh, and I still wasn't happy. Because those things don't actually cause happiness. Happiness is up here in the head, mm-hmm. and accepting yourself and liking yourself and knowing that you're a good person. And so we always address that, because weighing a number will not make you happy, right? And if you're someone that's listening, that's never been your goal weight and you don't believe me, that's fine. I'll show you when you get there, mm-hmm. but that's not what's going to make you happy.
Yeah. I have a funny thought that came in my head. My husband's in the kitchen business, and I am always laughing with him that, you know, the new kitchen isn't going to save the marriage, but it's, but no, it is no. that, yeah, no, it's, it is that mindset, right? And for women, it's very hard, and men too. I mean, that the whole society and body imaging and what we have been inundated with in history, and that's changing, which is nice. And all bodies and all shapes are great and beautiful and wonderful. And again, it is this sort of addressing of this self-confidence and being assured of yourself that is so vitally important. From a practitioner point of view, from what I do, again, it's always going back and associating that emotional impact to the health of the body that we visualize through thermography. So they'll always tell me I'm eating right and I'm exercising right and I'm doing these things and I'm looking at their thermal imaging. I'm like, you're missing the big point here. And you probably have those tough conversations because it's like, you're missing a very big point here. And so that's wonderful. And you have practitioners that help you with that, or you have that inset in the program?
So it's funny. We mainly have that inside the program, but just before I jumped on this with you, I just partnered with somebody that is a mindset coach for ladies in menopause. And so she's not part of our business. She's someone that we can refer out to. And we kind of came up with a deal that, like, our clients, once they hit the 3 month mark, then they get a free call. Her name's Pam, with Coach Pam, and they can start addressing those mindset things as well. And so the reason I did that is because, yeah, go ahead.
No, you go.
So the reason I did that is because I know what we're really good at. We're really good at weight loss. We're really good at health, and we're okay at mindset. And so I would rather know that somebody is on our team, or at least in our corner, that's really good at mindset, to help them more than we can help them.
Yeah, it's so important, because you have to, you know, it is about doing the best you can with everything you do, and you want to stay in your lane and you want to do that. And a lot of the times the mindset component, people have already been on that journey. They get it. It's a good reminder. Mm. But for some people, you're just like, all right, you really need to see Coach Pam, because this is so important. Yes. And this will be breakthrough and pivotal for you. And it changes not only themselves, but it changes their lifestyle, their family, their home, their whole everything, right? Their whole world gets changed when they see the right person. And some big things, some deep things are addressed. So,
right.
And I think, yeah, I think exactly. that is sort of the focus, at least to here in my world, mental health is a big focus. And again, it's getting to the right people and accessibility right. and such. So I love how you've done that. It's so important. And there are some things you just don't want to, you're like, oh, I think you need to see someone else. But you still need to train them, and they're doing so well with their nutrition. You don't want to lose that component. It's always good to have a partner who's not going to change the stream that you're on, right? That's the most important
exactly.
thing.
So. Yeah, exactly.
I love that. I think that is just phenomenal how that works, that you've teamed up, you have the mind-body component, you've got the training, the exercises, you've got the nutrition down pat. And I love your flexibility to things. What is some big thing that you're working on for the future with your programming, or what do you have in the making in the background?
Yeah, so really inside of Hoy Fit, we're just trying to fill as many holes as possible, right? So when I first started this, it was just me. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot that I knew about nutrition. There was a lot I knew about exercise, But at the same time, there's a lot I didn't know. And so I had to fill that hole. And so the first coach that I brought on, aside from myself, was Kate. She's now our head coach. She's a registered dietitian. And so she has massive amounts of education that I didn't have.
Yeah.
After that, our program is called Fit for Life. And so I truly want our ladies to be fit for life. And the only way I can do that is by teaching them to remove food scales, to remove tracking apps, and feel comfortable going out to dinner. And so I tracked down Carissa. She's our intuitive eating coach. And now we get to do that. Then another problem arose. While Kate had a massive amount of education around chronic disease and blood panels and hormones, it wasn't as big as it could be. And we really wanted to help our clients with that. So we brought on Colleen. She can read, she can order blood work. She can read the blood work. She knows what to do. And so next is, I think what we want to do is bring on someone that's really, really smart with movement analysis, right? Because we can help with strength training. We can do movement analysis, but I'd love to have somebody that's really good at that to help these ladies better than we can right now. And so I think that's going to be our next focus.
I love that. So movement from the sense of watching them, well, watching them one, simply walk, but the structure and how their muscles perform to break through the fascia and break through that muscle memory that they've created, right?
To do that and to keep them safe.
I love it.
Right. Like,
because as they're aging, it's a fall prevention point of view, right? And that's what you're like, oh, that tweak is going to be, you need to work on that. But then how do you get them to process it? So, wow, Joe, you've really completely blown my mind in the perspective of how many branches of the tree of life that you have, the Fit for Life that you have, and how that can is so accessible to your members, right? And I love how you've because hormone paneling and blood work and having someone functional to come alongside of you to help you understand things, or at least is someone in your court, right? And that sometimes doctors, you don't have that sort of person in your court. You want to use them for the best they can, but they don't get what you're doing. So I love that you've really stepped out with intuitive eating, that emotional component to things, and that you have a mind-body coach, you have a functional person to help people with understanding their hormones and having the accessibility to hormone paneling and cortisol tests and all that beautiful, beautiful work, and that you've got your trainers, and wow, so much more than I had anticipated. And I congratulate you for that, because it is, it always changes. And I know you're just like, okay, I think that's amazing. That is a gap in our system, and let's build that. Good mm-hmm. for you. Good for you for being Thank so you. Adaptable. So amazing. Amazing. In all things, what is a word of wisdom that you love to share?
So the biggest thing that I like to just scream from the mountains and say over and over until I'm blue in the face is that if you can't do it for a day, no, sorry, I messed it up. If you can't do it for a decade, I don't want you to do it for a day.
Right.
Right. And that's going to go for exercise, nutrition, dieting, work, relationships, anything. But like, let's take it from a weight loss perspective. If you can't follow keto for 10 years, don't start. If you can't follow Optavia, if you can't order their powdery food packets and eat one real meal a day for 10 years, I don't recommend you do it for a day.
And the 10 years, because it is that long to make a changes in life.
Yeah. I mean, nobody's doing this to lose weight and then fall back to where they are now. People want to do this for the rest of their life and live at that body weight. And the only way to do it is by doing the thing that produced the results forever.
I love it. And it is that mindset of the macros and protein focus and addressing all the different factors, life factors, lifestyle factors, emotional factors, movement factors that you're just taking into place here with Hoy Fit, and you're fit to live. Fit for life. And I love how that you have that perspective, and I love how you see it and you take it, and your mom must be so proud. So I love it.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Thank you so much. So where can they find you?
So we can link it in the show notes. Anybody can just give me a Facebook search of Joe Hoy. But I'd rather take this time and just thank you, right? I think
thank
that
you.
this entire podcast has been about me, and I'd like to thank you for your generosity to have me on. So
thank
you.
Yeah, I
You're
love
welcome.
It. I love talking to different people from different perspectives and what they're gifted with and where they've been blessed and how they're sharing that blessing with others and from many different lifestyles and perspectives, right? And it is about women finding, women or men, I'm not sure if men listen to the podcast, but men and women finding that right fit, right? And finding that sort of functional perspective. Everyone is, even a woman I had this morning, she's just, you know, have you heard about this? And have you heard about this? Well, I have, because I keep my ears open. Nothing is strange to me. I know many alternative practitioners and wonky stuff like that. And so it's always this sort of aspect of being a concierge for health in helping people, like, your ideas are not crazy. You are capable, and there are people out there for every person. And I really appreciate how diverse that you've become. And I love it, because that doesn't happen much. So that's the way of the future. And breaking free from our old school medical system, which is necessary, don't get me wrong, but they are boxed in. They are only limited to what they're allowed to do. And you need people in their other giftings out there in the world to come alongside people, right? So,
yeah, I love it. I'm glad that you can see that.
Yeah, thank you so much, Joe. And thank you so much for joining me today, and be blessed on this beautiful journey that you've created. And I love how you are just there for so many men and women across the country. And I see big things, and I thank you so much for joining me today.
Awesome. Thank you, Dana.
Thank you.